Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Good morning and welcome to Let's Talk. Before I go on any further, I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on this land we are broadcasting from. I also would like to pay my respects to our elders and also our elders of more recent arrival. And a big shout out to everybody around the continent that is taking our program via the National Indigenous Radio Service, NIRS. Thank you for joining us and letting us be beamed into your communities around this beautiful continent. On the program with me this morning, I have a few deadly mob that are involved in the upcoming Australian Indigenous Football Championships that is happening next month, beginning on the 8th of November. And we're going to have a few people on the program. We're going to dial some in. I'll just give you a bit of info. We're going to dial Jade North in, ex-Brisbane Roar player, Newcastle Jets, Socceroos, and founder of Jade North, Kicking with a Cuz. That's pretty cool. Also, Kiralee Phillips, a current player at AC Carina and manager and founder of Jinder Magic. Live in the studio with me at the moment and will be joining us for the whole entire of the program is Ramon Close. Just before we start, brother, could I get you to tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
Thanks for having me on here, Bo. I really appreciate it. My name's Ramon Close. I'm on my mother's side and grandmother's side, a Bunjalung man. Also, traditionally, a Bunjalung man from the Woodenbong area, as well as a Quandamooka man.
Deadly, brother. Thanks for that. And thanks for coming into the studio as well for a yarn and letting us know about the upcoming football competition that's coming up as well.
No problem at all. I really appreciate it.
And so how long has this carnival been running and what's sort of your involvement within the championship?
So this carnival has started this year. The concept of the tournament started 2 years ago, mm-hmm. Down there south of Sydney and Nowra. So I put a team together 2 years ago, the Brisbane Warrigals. We went down to the championships there.
How'd you go?
We won it. First year there. Second year, the Aura took it out, so Sydney Mob there. So this being the third year of the concept, the first year of the Australian Indigenous Football Championships, mm-hmm. It's been deadly. We come back last year, had a look at the tournament, the concept, and, mm-hmm. and started it up here. It's going to be held in Logan. And, mm-hmm. and the reason why I started it here in Brisbane is just to make it logistically and financially more possible for communities that are further away from the tournament down in Nowra. Mm-hmm. So our mob up north, our mob in Northern Territory, having this tournament here, it's going to be much mm-hmm. more accessible for them to, attend year in, year out, build their teams to continue to come mm-hmm. year in, year out.
So. When is that other one on? Same weekend?
The week before. The week before. So they're starting the week before, and we got a few mob that are attending ours that'll attend that tournament, and then they'll cruise back up, and it's really starting to take off.
How many teams?
So this year we've got 12 women's and 16 men's teams. For the first year, it's been really good. Having that many teams. So
and how far spread are the teams?
So we've got teams as far as South Coast, New South Wales. So the South Coast Jumalungs they're in that Shoalhaven area. So two hours south there, Sydney, right up to Cairns, and then out there west to.
And you got a side from Moree, eh?
Not from Moree, in and around there. We've got teams from Biripi there, Kari, Armidale, so that's Northern Nations So in as the tournament and this concept gets out and progresses, I'm sure Mob will be coming out the woodwork to attend.
Because I was talking to my older brother, he lives in Moree, and I think he was mentioning that a cousin of mine is playing in a side from somewhere down that way, so I thought it might be Maureen. Yeah, his name's Kenny Wright. He's, he used to live up here in Brisbane with us. And
a lot of Wrights there in Sydney, big mob there.
Yeah, definitely there in Kempsey and all that there around that area. But, I guess how long have you been involved, I guess, in playing football? Because it says, you got a pretty extensive...
I started. I started as a young fella. Like many black fellas in this country. You know, we're either kicking the AFL ball around or the NRL, throwing that ball around. And as a young fella, my father got us. Me and my two brothers, footballs.
Yeah, didn't
he? I seemed to be kicking around the ground all the time, and he thought, all right, I'll throw him in that. So, I started playing when I was 7 years old. Yeah. As my, career and life progressed, like a lot of young fellows doing many sports, but, football, soccer was the sport I chose. And, through practicing, playing and year after year, started to get a bit better and started to get offered, positions in representative sides, starting here in Brisbane and then, making our, state teams as a young fella, coming through the normal sort of system here in Australia. My old man being an NRL head, love watching me progress, but also at the same time, couldn't understand some of the pathways. The situations we faced, being Indigenous in the sport of football, soccer, not having that many black fellas playing it. So, as time went on, I, started to get involved with A-League clubs and that was a great experience. I was a part of the Queensland Academy of Sport there. Then went on to the Australian Institute of Sport, so spent a couple of years down there, which was deadly. From there, I then had a bit of a trial and played Australian schoolboys. So that was sort of my first taste at the age of 15 of football on a world scale. So we travelled to England, Scotland, Wales, Ireland, and for me as a young fella, it was a massive eye opener. I come back and I remember thinking to myself, the world's big. There's a lot out there. There's a lot of opportunity, and watching the players that were around me, I wanted to be as good as them. And then further to that, you see your football stars around the world and this and that. So seeing that opportunity really made me see a clear pathway where I was to then, hey, this could be achievable, especially. In Europe. So after coming back from there, as mentioned, I went down the AIS there and was there with, a lot of players from around Australia. The so-called best of the young lads that get invited there. It was deadly. We had two other Indigenous players down there. So James Brand, he's from Kingscliff there, another Bundjalung lad. And then we had Taj Minicon, who was down there, who's currently playing in the Philippines. And both of those Indigenous lads have both played A-League and had good careers in A-League. So that was deadly to be able to go down there, be with them lads. After that, I come back here to Queensland to play a bit of state league. From there, I was seeking opportunities overseas and had the opportunity to go to Portugal there. And,
deadly.
And that was my first time sort of stepping out on my own. And
how old was you?
I was 20. So, skinny black fella there, cruising over there to Portugal. I remember... I remember it like it was yesterday, cruising into the change room and having a look around at all these men, a lot of sort of African descent gentlemen, that live in Portugal once we stepped out on the field, looks weren't everything as a young young player and Indigenous player, held my own in terms of, what we bring to the game, that flair, which is very similar to the Portuguese, the Brazilians. That was a very tough experience. There was no English in the team. Going over to a country to play football, it's You know, it can be difficult, especially going to them countries that don't speak English. So,
did they have many other people from Australia over there, or did they interact much? But then also, I guess them having a black fellow there would have been something.
Definitely
different within itself as well. So
definitely different, and I'll tell you a bit of a story there when I was in Poland later on, years later. But for Aussies to travel to other countries, I guess we're seen as a country that isn't as strong as the South American countries, European countries in terms of football. Mm. So for them to see an Australian over there, what are you doing here? Mm. And then further to that, when they, start asking questions, I'm an Indigenous Australian. Mm. What? Yeah, I'm Aboriginal. Mm. And they're like, nah.
Yeah.
because I suppose in Europe, they depict us from what they read in their books and history and sort of think we still live traditionally. And so, for me going over there, that was a big eye-opener as a young fella. I was over there for about 5 months for that stint. Very good but hard experience.
Mm-hmm.
I then come back from that. Grew a bit more, and then I then went on to head over to Belgium and played there for a year in the third league, and then on to Poland, which was a crazy experience for a black fellow living in that country.
Cold.
So, everything. Minus 20.
Playing footy as well.
Playing football. Yeah. So it was crazy. I think there's only about 5% foreigners in that country. So. I was in the town I was living in, was the darkest fella in the town of 50,000, and you're walking around, everyone's looking at you, and what's going on here? And, even to the extent where, when I'd play against other teams, every now and then I'd see an African fella and I'd feel obliged to go up and hug him and, brother, what are you doing here? So it's definitely a different country.
Definitely.
But the experience that I gained from that and the outlook that I have on life now is due to all those experiences, which I'm grateful for.
Definitely, brother, of course. And especially with this new role, I guess, that you put yourself in as well to give that agency to other young or older black fellas as well to sort of be in those footsteps as, excelling within their football career as well, or just wanting to be amongst other mob and, playing a deadly competition. We're going to head to a quick song break. I'm going to come back after that and want to just yarn to you, I guess, a bit about that as well and the importance of sort of, opening up a space to more black fellas, because I'm sure as well it would have been pretty difficult, like you said, being one of the only few Aboriginal players at AES down in Canberra or just in general on the footy pitch. We're going to head to a quick song break and then we'll be back after that. My guest on the program is Ramon Close from the Indigenous Football Championships that's going to be held here next month in Logan City. You're listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM.
I'm a brown, black, younger boy with a killer flow. Listen to the year that he listen to it blow. Brother boys, younger boys, all the way from Iron Man. Era boy, me get na puta, bitch, in there, you go balanda, bungo. Tumur irang and yamachiko. Napuka jade, naputo, ripuko, wala manguji, maka mana pamir, ripu, mitiko. Bubu in a marching and yako. Triggers mind blown, surviving mode, human brain, greatest weapon in the globe. Child sustained, education, knowledge is order, standing on everyone's shoulders. Teaching yourself as you get older and older.
You're more my life. Our music is growing. I'm using my money game. The river is flowing. Can you feel the wind blowing? You're more my life. Me, you're a more. So, Mariuna.
Tick-a-tock on my block. First I'm on the train, I was shocked. Same time back home, seeking little alleys to get on. Fear in my head, in my zone. Hunting bush life, but I can't feed them. This is Jungle, way of freedom. City lights, the sound, too much in my mind. But the
Mala, our music is going. I'm using my money game. The river is flowing. Can you feel the wind blowing? Young one, I live my game. We are Kagaramo. So, Mariuna, 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 Mariuna. Marina.
This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
And you're back on Let's Talk. That was Baker Boy with Mariuna. Really, really good song. Joining us on the phone, we have Jade North. How you going, Jade?
I'm good. How are you?
Not too bad, brother. Not too bad, yeah. I guess just before we start, could you tell us your name, your mob, and where you're from?
Yeah, my name's Jade North, obviously. I'm a Biripi man from the great Manning River down in country northern New South Wales. From the Biripi mob down that way, so moved up here when I was sort of 8-9 years old and just sort of lived up in Queensland.
You're deadly. Are you related to Latrell Mitchell?
Yeah, he's my cousin.
Yeah, man. Very talented.
I'm a Morris from down that way. My mm-hmm. father is a Morris, and then the Mitchells, they're related to us, so
He had a good season this year too, lad.
Definitely.
He's done really well.
New South Wales series and a grand final.
Yeah.
So I hung out with his old man Matty when we were younger.
Yeah, deadly.
So it's good to see he's doing well for the mob down that way, and really representing, you know, not only the code but you know, our people in general. So good to see.
Yeah, I saw one of the circuses came to town. And he went to, like, his school and pretty much bought everybody a ticket so everybody could go.
Yeah, it was good. I've seen that as well.
Yeah, definitely.
It was a good gesture for him, and that's just a humble person, and he's from a really good family.
Deadly. Yeah, now, so we've been, just yarning about the Australian Indigenous Football Championships that are coming up. What's your role, I guess, within the championship that's coming up in November? At the moment, I'm not playing.
Not doing any sort of football. I got injured a little while ago. I'm still sort of doing my rehab and all that sort of stuff. So playing is, for me at the moment, is out of the question, but I would love to, but I've got to get my body right first. But, you know, as an ambassador for the championships up here, obviously, is a good honour. And, I think... it can be a great tournament, and you know, being in Brisbane obviously is a good, you know, the weather's good, you know, the facilities are fantastic. I was, you know, obviously with the Roar for many years, and obviously we moved out to Logan last year, so and it's just gone from strength to strength out that way. So it'll be some good fun, and all the teams will really thoroughly enjoy themselves.
Yeah, deadly, definitely. I would love to sort of know your journey, how you got involved in football, and, you know, you got a pretty extensive career as well. You know, you got to represent the country. Could you just tell us, our listeners, a bit about that and your journey?
Yeah, well, obviously, growing up in Taree, it's a stronghold rugby league little town, and, you know, all my family were either into rugby league or boxing. So I moved away when I was younger. Moved away with my mum. My mum and my dad separated, so obviously my mum wanted a different life for us to grow up here in Queensland. And you know, when I moved to Queensland, all my schoolmates were into playing soccer. So, you know, it was a bit foreign for me at the time, but I enjoyed it, and I never looked back, and sort of from there on I just went to, you know, playing local club sort of soccer and then getting picked in the rep teams, and then you represent Queensland, and then next minute you're getting picked for the Queensland Academy of Sport, making the young Socceroos, and then just it was like a little bit of a pathway there, and went to the Australian Institute of Sport for a year. Then after that, you know, that was my first time training professionally at the age of 17 at the Australian Institute of Sport, because they sort of prepare yourself what the professional environment's going to be like. Then after that, I've had more bloody clubs than Tiger Woods, but I started my NSL, the old National Soccer League here, Brisbane Strikers under John Cosmina, and that was before the A-League is what it is today. So then played for a few teams, Sydney Olympic, Perth Glory. Then when the A-League started, I started at Newcastle Jets, and I was fortunate enough that year I was there for 3 years, and on the third year I was captain of the team, and we were lucky enough to win the A-League championships that year, and being captain was a great honour as well, and especially being Indigenous and near my hometown of Taree was something special as well. So,
Definitely, brother.
And then after that, just sort of was in the national team. I mean, I played 41 times with the Socceroos, you know, playing at club level here in Australia. Also was lucky enough to play in South Korea. Then FC Tokyo in Japan in the J-League. Then I moved to Sapporo. And then I had a stint in Norway, in Europe as well. And then back to the A-League, and here I am. We, you know, just finished up with the last 5.5 years with the Brisbane Roar. So, yeah, I got to travel around and see the world, and, yeah, I was very, very, very fortunate.
Jade Ramon here, brother. How are you?
How are you?
Yeah, good. Hey, you know, I know we, you know, we yarn quite a bit, and you know, to be honest, for me, that's the first time I've, you know, heard the rundown on your career, and you know, it's you know, it gives me shivers to to know you know, another black fellow within the code has done as much as you've done, and I really take my hat off to you. But I wanted to ask, you know, through your journey, did you have any black fellas that you sort of come across playing football and you know, in that generation? And
there was a few. I mean, you know, Casey Weeman was one from up at Mount Isa way. He was with the Brisbane Strikers when I was coming in as a youngster, and he represented the Socceroos at a young, you know. When he was, you know, he was the next sort of biggest thing coming through. But then he was a little bit unfortunate with a quite a bad ankle injury. And then after that, you know, I think he was out of the game for quite some time. And then, although he did come back, he was some player. And but I did think that he was going to be something special. And you know, even playing in the national titles, you know, from New South Wales, there was a few Murray boys that were. Koori boys that were coming through down through Sydney and stuff like that, and you could see the talent that they had and the skill levels that they had. But unfortunately, there was a few issues off the park that, you know, they did get themselves into a little bit of strife here and there, and it was just unfortunate, because I did see some talent coming through, and it just wasn't enough black fellas coming through, and that's been what it is today. And, you know, we have to really do something about it, because there's so much talent out there, and, you know, we've got to put these kids in, you know, on the right path to become something special.
And I guess the question for the both of you is, have you sort of seen that rise in more young black fellas sort of coming into the football space as well?
Definitely. You know, I'm a tiny bit younger than Jade, not too much younger there. but you know, and that's why for me it's interesting, you know, in our culture, passing down that knowledge, and to hear Jade's you know, history there, and you know for him to have a yarn about, you know, a couple of players that he's you know, seen throughout his career, even in my career as well. You know, I've seen plenty of black fellas that were talented and. You know, fell by the wayside due to, you know, issues outside of the or off the pitch, but but definitely, you know, in terms of you know the rise in black fellas stepping into this code, it's definitely happening. As you can see, for me, two years ago, going down to Nara, it was beyond my belief to see, you know, 15 men and women's teams competing. You know, I still couldn't believe it, and but through, you know, players like Jade representing our culture, you know, to be a captain of an A-League team and win it
is, final, yeah,
is crazy, you know, and you know, so, you know, through that as well as you know, Jade North kicking with their cars, you know, the Guri Football Program, Australian Indigenous Football Championships, we'll start to, you know, see mob, you know, head into this code.
And Jade, yeah, would love to sort of talk about, you know, Jade North kicking with the cuz, that initiative that you got going.
It was just something that because I've always been passionate about, you know, pathways and providing, like I just said before, like, you know, so I saw some of these kids that were so talented come through the national titles, and yet, you know, they didn't have enough support or sort of mentors outside of football to keep them going on, you know, and I guess, you know, that was always, and I could never afford, when I was growing up, I could never afford boots or the flash gear and all that sort of stuff, even for loans to, I don't know, Romain, you might know, even with the old camps down at Southport schools and stuff like that, like it was about $300, you know, for a week's camp, and my mum couldn't afford it, you know, we had to borrow money just to be able to pay, you know, and just the little things. And today with football, like, it's so expensive. Mm-hmm. Like, I've got three boys, and two of the boys, my oldest, like, he's doing quite well at the moment in the SAP program, the skills acquisition program. It's like a representative football. He's under 12 at the moment. Mm-hmm. But, you know, once you pay all the fees and that, that's like $1,500 a year.
Yeah.
And then he was playing league down here at Carina Tigers, where I live, just down the road here. And that was $300 a year. Mm-hmm. Plus they get all the flash gear, the bags, the bells and whistles that goes, everything with it. Mm-hmm. So until that changes, we're going to lose all of our best underprivileged kids, Indigenous boys and girls, to the other codes, because they do it so much better than what we do. Unfortunately, that's the way it's going to be. And until we can change that, you know, that's why I always had something like, I mean, it was always hard to do, like, my Kicking with the Cuz program was just something that I wanted to get out into, you know, into the community, out into the schools, and just have a bit of fun with the kids and, you know, introduce the round ball game to these kids, and just to show them that, you know, there's something else going, and whether it would help them align themselves with a local club or subsidise fees somehow with me talking to clubs or just getting them involved, because I know a lot of football clubs in the state league, they do subsidise costs for a lot of African kids now, because that's their number one sport over there. When they come here, they need to fit back into their community somehow. So
I'd love to, like, later on, sorry, brother, I mean, interrupt, to get you back on the program to have a yarn about that stuff as well, and if there's sort of any way we can sort of, you know, promote it or support it, you know. You getting out
there? Yeah, no.
Communities would love to. You know,
oh, absolutely, man. No, no.
And, bit remote.
Yeah, no. Thanks, but yeah.
And Jade, you probably you know further to, you know, the difficulty of our you know people playing the game due to the financial pressures. You know, you probably experienced as a young fella, and I'm sure a lot do across a lot of different codes, because, you know, we all come from different backgrounds. But you know, nothing worse than when you know, you're getting picked for a representative team, and you know, you're excited, but you also know the cost and where you're at financially as a family. So as a young kid in the code, you're sitting there, you know, stressed out because you're thinking about money as a 12-year-old even, you know, and you know, I'm sure, you know, that was something, you know, as well, that, you know, a lot of our mob will and do still face, you know, within, you know, this game. And, yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, it's tough. And I just believe that today, this age today, that the kids, you know, if they want to play soccer, they shouldn't be standing behind the gate, looking through the gate into the ground. You know, they should be there participating, however we can do it. And if you look at rugby league and that, you know, they got AFL, they do it the best. You know, they've had programs put in place, and, you know, they've aligned themselves with, they just do everything so well. And
you definitely learn from
them. I don't know how many times I've spoken to the FFA and you know, about these sorts of issues, but unfortunately, it's not their priority right now. I mean, it will be until things change, and there's a lot of changes going through with FIFA and the FFA at the moment. But you know, I have looked at the 20-year plan, and you know, it's at the moment their biggest market is obviously the women, because women are just taking off like never before, and you know, that's unbelievable, and it's so good to see the girls in all the different codes at the moment. A
couple of sister girls there as well, eh?
Straight up.
Yeah, absolutely. Lira
Toby there at Brisbane Roar. You know, she's had you know, a battle as an Indigenous female playing within the code and coming through working hard, and she's just secured another contract.
Deadly.
Yeah,
congratulations.
That's unreal. Cy Kymans?
Kai Simon. So we've got Lydia Williams there as well. Jada Wyman. You know, young Shadeen Evans there coming through the ranks. So
sisters are killing it.
Straight up, and I think we'll definitely see more Matildas, Australian Matildas, than we will see Socceroos, you know, in the near future. But, you know, with you know, people like Jade on board, you know, along with, you know, these championships, these Indigenous programs we're running, you know, slowly Rome wasn't built in a day. I think, you know, I think we got some good men on and females on board that you know, really want to, you know, make these pathways happen. So.
I'll give you something. Like last year, I think I was the only Indigenous player playing in the A-League. So
crazy.
And if you look at the AFL, I think the Indigenous make up to 7 to 9% of each roster of every AFL team.
Yeah.
So that just goes to show there, like, how far behind we are.
I guess proven in any space, given the opportunity, our mob excel.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Look, yeah, they made you captain, you won a grand final. You know, they want to think twice now.
But I had so many obstacles and so many things for me just to get there. And, you know, but, you know, that I'm living proof that, you know, these things can, you know, you can follow your dreams and you can captain a team. And, I mean, you know, kids... That they need people playing in the A League. They need more kids like Ramon, like out there doing the, you know, and even Bernie down south, and everyone just, we all just need to get together, and you know, we just need to promote the game. And I know that this, and like for me, like there's been so many times where, you know, even with the boys, we've got this thing going around the A League where they go and collect boots and they go and send it to Africa, and I don't have a problem with that at all, because I, you know, but I just think, like, look at our own backyard. We've got kids there that can't afford boots, and they're in our own backyard here. Our mob,
all kind of afford the fees to, you know, being aside and stuff. Yeah,
I mean, donations there from Canberra and exactly what you're saying, Jado. That it does make you a bit wild, but you know, obviously there's a lot of issues in our backyard that we can solve through sport.
Definitely,
you know, and yeah, so
yeah.
But, I know you got a cruise, Jade. Just like quick thing, any sort of inspirational words for some young fellas that are coming up, you know, want to play, you know, professionally or amateurly, or even some older players that are playing now, you know, that are tuning in.
I probably don't have any sayings, but like, it's just like the old cliche, just like, just follow your dreams, just never give up. But you know, like even with me, like even the times that I was over in the snow when I was young. So my first trial, I went to Ajax, which is one of the biggest teams in Holland. And obviously back in the day, you know, I had an opportunity because their youth system is by far one of the... It's up there with the Barcelona academies and all this sort of stuff. And I had an opportunity to go there. This is when I was back in 99 or whatever it may be. And, you know, I'm sitting over there on the other side of the world, looking outside, it's all dark and snow coming down. I'm just looking out going, I don't think any black fella's meant to be from here. You know what I mean? But yeah. I just something just kept on drawing me back here. And if I can teach any young, and like even young kids coming from the bush out into the big smoke, where it's Sydney, Brisbane, where it may be, it's they just want to be back with their family and their mob, you know? And I think if we can still just teach them and tell them that everything will be all right, you know, like... Because family is everything, and I know that. And but sometimes, you know, I always had this thing. I didn't want to do it, and I didn't want to do it. I just wanted to come back, and you know. But your friends are always going to be here whenever you get back, and you need to go through those hard times to be able to become successful. And it wasn't until I got into my later years that I learned this, and I wish I could just teach younger kids that, you know, if you push those barriers, you will get the rewards at the end.
Yes, no, definitely, my brother. If you're just tuning in to Let's Talk, we've been yarning for the most part of the program about the Australian Indigenous Football Championships that are happening in November. Stay tuned. We're going to have to say goodbye to Jade because he has to run off, do the family thing. Thanks for coming on the program with us, brother.
Thank you. I've got swimming lessons now.
That's all good. I'm going to head to a quick song from Coloured Stone. Cubby Booker, you are listening to Let's Talk here on 98.9 FM. And you're back on Let's Talk. That was Coloured Stone with Cubby Booker. I think it's a song about rain back in Shijuna. The front man of that band is Uncle Bun Laurie, Dudley fella, doing lots of really, really good things back home in his country. I know a few years ago BP wanted to do a big offshore gas wells, and there's like been some solid campaigning around that country. Also around that area, around that part of the country as well, they dropped a nuclear bomb, or they set one off down that way. Which is not good at all. But, yeah, shout out to Uncle Bun Laurie and all them mob down there, all them whale dreamers. So their mob is back down that wing. But we're joined here on the program. Ramon's still here with me. We had Jade on the phone before, and joining us live in the studio is Kira Lee. How you going, sis?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good, good, good. Just before we start, your mob and your country.
Yes, I'm a Bundjalung and Gumbenge woman. So from northern New South Wales. I was born in Faba, yep. But spent my before.
Sorry?
Are you there?
Can you now, what was that last part?
Oh, I just spent most of my young days down in Grafton, Lismore, but have been up in Brisbane for at least the last sort of 20 years.
Deadly, just studying, working and just living?
Yeah, so I completed my bachelor's degree and have since had three beautiful little babies that I've been taking care of. So
deadly.
I'm looking after them. Yeah,
twins there as well, hey?
Twins, yeah, almost 10 months now, identical girl.
True, that's deadly. We had our ultrasound on Friday, having a little boy.
Oh, another one! Oh, yes,
congratulations, brother!
Which is good, another addition to the family, which is good. Yeah, little tribe cruising around.
Yeah, you're making me clucky here talking about these kids.
Jay talking about these three kids.
Straight up.
It's well worth sleepless nights.
Yes.
Even though, like, I don't, I always say I don't do as much of the heavy lifting as Jade, especially when baby girl was, like, Friday, baby girl was, like, spewing up. It's about 5 o'clock in the morning. Jade was, like, she was just hanging on to Jade, and I was thinking, oh.
We're nothing without our women.
Definitely,
so.
Yes. is this your first year in the carnival and also playing football, or you've got a history of playing footy as well?
Yeah. I've been playing just like local. Began my like little football career just in the church league, and just because one of my friends, her team didn't have enough players, and just asked me to fill in just to, fill the spots, and I had no idea what I was doing, but that was probably back when I was about 14. And then, just played in the church league for a couple of years, and then just since come over to Football Brisbane League.
Deadly.
Yeah, so I just play at the moment, it's like Capital One over at Carina Football Club.
Deadly. What position?
Yeah, and that's my first year with them, yeah.
What position?
Right back at the moment, but I've been going everywhere, but yeah, mainly in the defensive line.
So you haven't scored any goals yet, or you have?
Not yet, not yet.
and this is your first year in the competition with Jinda Magic. Tell us a little bit about the side.
So I've just brought a good group of girls together. So it's Jinda Magic, so just a bit of background with that. I just wanted a real powerful name. Jinda down in my country means sister.
Yeah.
So, Sister Magic. We've got actually girls from, a lot from Brisbane, but also Gold Coast and Murrigan, some from Harvey Bay, Foster, Sydney. It's just to come together. Some of the girls have got on the team a few NPL players and national premier players, and Brisbane Premier League players. So, just good to help them build their profile too.
So, like, he's not just coming here for fun, he's coming here for the championship.
A bit of both. We've got a couple of girls, my cousins there from Harvey Bay. Deadly. They're league players.
Oh, deadly. That's good. So, Ramon, you mentioned earlier, 16 teams, is it?
That's correct. So 12 women. 12 women. 12 women's teams, 16 men's teams. So,
and that's all over.
That's Queensland, Southeast, New South Wales, as well as Northern Territory.
Yeah. Like, I guess on your part of it, it must be a lot to handle and sort of do that, like the background work.
Well, it is mm-hmm. definitely is, and you know, we're all connected, and there's a reason for why I'm doing this, and you know, I'm doing this to create pathways, our kids, can be born into options in this game and have those pathways there for our mob. And I started off with the Brisbane Warrigals, and I yarned to Kira Lee every now and then regarding her team, as I do with all the teams. Mm. But it started off with the Brisbane Warrigals, and it was just with a team, and you're pulling your hair out trying to organise everything and trying to get funding, sponsorship, all of that. Mm. You know, dealing with players, and then my progression into actually running a championships. It's been really heartwarming to see, even the likes of Kira Lee, she turned around, this team, this concept, very quickly, she not only is looking after three kids, while struggling life, but come up with a deadly logo, all the rest of it, done the Facebook page, all of these things to make this successful, and has now got a team together and has brought girls from all different areas. Mm. So like her, every team's doing it, you see the Bundjalung Warriors on our Facebook page, and Northern Nations, they're getting all their media and this and that. So they're really progressing, but I guess the concept around the whole tournament, much like with what Kira Lee's doing there with Jinder Magic, is this is about mob, no matter where you're from, what you're doing, black and white, we all need to start working together for the bigger picture, and
definitely.
You can really start to see that within this tournament and these teams. So
like yourself and Jade mentioned that we mentioned it just before about I guess the impact that our sisters have I guess on the football field as well. You mentioned quite a few in the women's A-League and then also in the Matildas as well. I guess growing up, sis, was it sort of hard as well? Like both these lads mentioned, it was sort of, a handful of times I'll see other young black, men on the pitch or, sort of in that space. Was it sort of the same for yourself growing up playing football as well?
Yeah, for sure, because it's, Ramon and Jay were saying, it's all about league, or, for the young girls, it's a lot to do with league as well, but netball and soccer was kind of just on the side. But even just in my recent years, every time you see another young one on the field, you go over and say hello and ask where they're from. But yeah, but the same, yeah.
Definitely. Also, got to give a shout out to Charlie Perkins, one of the first Aboriginal players to sort of go trial with, was it Man U or
that's or right. Sydney? So in their
and this is in like the 60s,
yeah, and it was
harshest times you could
straight sort of up, a lot of racism there. There was Charlie Perkins, Harry Williams, John Moriarty.
Yeah.
They were sort of in that era, and the racism was real back then, and just goes to show, through perseverance, strength, what we can do, and so they're definitely pioneers, and definitely something for us to look up to and learn from.
Definitely. And did you, growing up and playing football as well, sis, have I guess this earning to sort of maybe play professional, or did you sort of you always knew that it was sort of like it was enough? What am I trying to say? Yeah, like did you is that always something you wanted to do as well?
It was, but I guess I never just sort of pushed myself in that way down like the sport. It was more academic that I was striving for, but soccer and football sport really has always been my outlet for mental and physical health, but.
Mm.
Yeah, not so much professionally, but, I've always been happy where I've been. I say it's still competitive, but it's not, paid or, the spotlight hasn't really been on me for that reason. Yeah.
What is sort of, the pay wage difference between men and women, and also, because when people think of, being a paid football player, they think of, Europe and South America where they get, millions and millions. Obviously, I'm sure it's not the same in Australia, but
it's the there's definitely a difference in the pay scale if you compare it to Europe to here. Even comparing semi-professional pay within football, soccer to NRL and AFL, there's a bit of similarity but difference. And then there's an obvious jump from male to female. We talk about, equality on whole, the Indigenous issue within soccer, but then also females within sport.
You probably find they still need to have a full-time job on the side of training and playing on the weekends.
And, let's put it this way, across all codes, the female game's taken off, they've been given an opportunity, and look what they've done. And the word is, and even if you just want to watch the national teams, people are actually saying, I'd rather watch the Matildas and the Socceroos play because they play a better brand of football too. So, I don't know, but...
And they got some sisters in there.
Straight up.
Definitely. And I guess what sort of drove you to put a side in, into this competition, but then also have that, deadly name, Jinder Magic?
Oh, well, as much as I want to come out and say that I want to win the comp, which is something that I think we all go in to do, but I think it's important for women, but I think particularly Indigenous women, to have that sense of a sistership and to have that healthy support to, help empower one another. And I think for a little while now I felt an obligation to do that to the young ones that are there and... just to help to uplift them and to give them that safe, even like a safe talking space where they can feel confident and comfortable. And that has been shown, some of the girls don't even know each other on the Facebook page, but we've been yarning and, we've been training every Wednesday for the past couple of months now. And, just to see them all going out there and, seeing them sweat it out and, push themselves mentally and physically, it's so... it helps empower me as well when I see that they're doing well. And I think that's my biggest drive for this. And I want to, bring this team back every year and, build it bigger and better. And it's a bit short notice this year, but we really wanted to, have visions of doing like a cultural tour with some of the local groups here or, getting the team. Because we're come from such a, Mergen down to Sydney, so it was hard to get everyone together last minute. But something that we're pushing for, each year.
And I guess it's something good as well because around this time of the year, it's like it's known as knockout season. There's AFL, rugby league, competitions happening week in, week out. Come the end of like professional leagues, so it's always good to sort of have the on the flip side, sort of another type of competition that's just full of black excellence as well.
Yeah, and I can't wait because every year it's like, the knockout years, I don't want to participate in that. I don't want to get tackled.
I guess it's about providing options, like products that you buy from a store. Football, soccer is now an option for our mob. We got a lot of mob, female and male, that are playing in the Corey O'Murray knockout that'll come across and participate in this championship.
Oh, there is?
We've got a few brothers in our Brisbane Warrigals team that are coming.
I've got three girls that are coming over too.
That's good. But no, it's been good, and thanks for coming on the program as well, sis.
We would have
loved to get you on the program a bit earlier. It is, you can blame that on Jade. Tell us about his, extensive career overseas now. But also, sis, I guess just in wrapping up, the importance of, being a young black female football player. Could you let us know for our listeners, please?
For me, I found that no matter what I'm going on in life, if it's the kids or home or being, a partner, I've always used soccer as the sport as my outlet, and it helps me physically and mentally, and just that real big stress relief. Mm-hmm. So I know that I'm ever down or life's getting too much, go out, especially being around the women that go through the same life stuff as what I do. Just so important to
definitely. Now, thanks for that, sis, and Also, Ramon, for joining us in the studio. If you've enjoyed the program this morning, a big thank you, you know, for listening. But you can get the podcast at 989fm.com.au. The podcast will be later, will be on our website later on in the day, and also the repeat at 7 p.m. tonight here on 989FM. You have been listening to Let's Talk.